we're going to be sticking to our series. And I really did want to start with another American hero, a man who single-handedly ended the Cold War, Rocky Balboa. And I was thinking, why do we love Rocky Balboa? I mean, I love Rocky Balboa. Why do I love Rocky Balboa, I should say? And I think it's for the same reason that there really had to be 5 Rocky movies. There didn't have to be 6. That one a couple of years ago, we're just going to forget happened. But there had to be 5, because really what draws us to Rocky, what made those movies so successful, is they talk about persistence. They show the process. If you've watched those movies, it's not all the fight scenes. It's about the process of training, of going back to the gym over and over again, of working, of punching the meat, you know, day after day, and so on. And no matter how bad of a beating he takes or how humiliated he is, Rocky goes back again and again and again. Persistence. Persistence is really at the heart of why most people who do great things are able to do those great things, whether we're talking about Rocky or Thomas Edison or the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and I don't mean to make those equivalent of their impact on the world. But the point is that while we often focus on events, big events, these people are great and they do great things because of persistence, of going back again and again and again. And as we listen to God's call to go, and how God has called his people to go throughout the scriptures, and as we listen for God's call to go now, God is calling us, today we see that God's go is persistent. And I don't think there's another story in the scriptures that emphasizes the persistence of God's go any better than the story of Moses. As we read the story of Moses, there are a lot of goes in that story. And I want to look at actually 5 different kinds of goes that God gives to Moses. I want to look at those 5 this morning. We're really going to spend our time on the last 2. All of them are really significant to understanding not only Moses' story, but God's call to us right now to go. So the first go that I want to look at in the story of Moses is a go with. Go with. When God shows up to Moses at the burning bush and begins telling Moses about his plans, and we see the first go. Kind of. Our translation is a little off, but in verse 10 of chapter 3, God says, "So come, I will send you to go to the Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Moses' response here, and then even a chapter later in chapter 4, we still have Moses saying, "But or why me?" And God's response, "I will be with you. I will be with you." No matter what Moses' insecurities are and excuses, God's answer is, "You're not just going alone. You're going with me. I'm going with you." The journey of faith, this whole trusting God's go thing that we talked about last week, is not something we do on our own initiative or in our own strength or by our own power. It's a go with. And so God's answer to all of our "who me" and "buts" is, "I will go with you to where I've called you." Because I know that as we talk about God's go, that it can be daunting for a lot of us to just face the brokenness in our own lives and go there. To just go to the brokenness in our own families, in our own neighborhoods, let alone if we're talking about going and addressing issues like big issues like racism and terrorism, and it can be really overwhelming to hear God's go when it's a go into a broken world. But God's response is always, God's go is always a go with. I will be with you. It's what God said to Moses. It's what Jesus said to his disciples when he called them to go and make disciples of all nations. Remember, I will be with you always to the end of the age. So God's go is a go with. God also speaks the second kind of go God speaks to Moses is a go to. See, Moses is not a lone ranger in this thing, and neither are we. This whole Exodus thing was supposed to be really a movement. Moses wasn't supposed to be really the hero of the story as much as just the organizer. When God calls Moses to go in chapter 3, verse 16, he says, "Go and assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have given heed to you and what has been done to you in Egypt, and I declare I will bring you up out of the misery of Egypt to the land of milk and honey.'" He says, "They will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt." Right? So Moses is really just an organizer of this. He is first called to go to the people, to go to God's people and create a movement, create a community that can then go to Pharaoh and face the oppression that they are experiencing. So it's a go to. And not only that, but God also calls Aaron to go to Moses. So Moses keeps saying, "Well, I'm not a good speaker. I'm not very eloquent. I can't speak well." And finally God says, "Okay, fine. I've got something else in mind." And in chapter 4, verse 27, it says, "The Lord said to Aaron, 'Go into the wilderness to meet Moses.'" And Aaron becomes the spokesperson for this whole thing. So sometimes when God calls us to go, we don't know who else God has called to go to us, or we've been called to go to. It's often that God is calling us together first. God isn't just sending us out into the world alone. So there's a go with, there's a go to, and then there's kind of the end game of this whole thing. There's a go out. Exodus means the way out. And so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, so that they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness." So at first it's just, they're just asking to go out to celebrate a festival. Eventually it becomes go out altogether, but the point is the same. They're going out from under the hand of Pharaoh. They don't belong to Pharaoh. Pharaoh isn't their God. Pharaoh isn't their master. The Egyptians aren't their masters. They belong to God. So there's a going out from this idea that they are slaves, that they belong to other people, going out into the freedom of the Lord. So God is always calling us. God's go is always about overcoming internal and external forces that keep us from God's go. Go out from darkness into light. Go out from bondage into freedom. Go out from sin into the new life of belonging to God and the life of love that God has called us to. That's the end game of this story, is a go out. So there's go with, go to, go out, and then there's go back. Now you see, if you follow the story of Moses, if you know the story of Moses, you know that Moses has already gone. Moses grew up in the household of Pharaoh. And then one day he saw an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew slave, and Moses killed him, and then Moses went. So that's how he ends up out in Midian, out as a shepherd with the flocks. Right? Moses has already gone. He's a fugitive. And so, when God calls Moses then to go to Pharaoh, he's actually calling Moses to go back. Whereas Abraham was called to go from his father's house, Moses is actually called to go back to his father's house. Back to the legal mess that he's in. back to the family mess. He's probably going to confront his stepbrother, the Pharaoh. So a lot of times we think of God's go as going to this shiny, new, and exciting place. And sometimes it's really God's go is the hardest thing of all, is to go back. You know, Lauren is a mental health therapist. I have kind of an interest in the counseling field myself. And much of modern-day counseling and psychology is rooted in the work of Sigmund Freud. Probably heard that name before. And Freud wasn't right about everything, but really, studies and research and what we know show that he really was pretty much right about the core of human development. And that is that we often have to go back to grow up. Because we are shaped, if we're looking at trauma, for instance, when we experience trauma, that wires our brains in a certain way. And the only way to rewire that brain is often to go back. And not necessarily to relive it, but to engage it and recognize it. And we know that our patterns of living and relating to other people are shaped by the ways we live and related to the families that we grew up with. And a lot of times, it's called family systems theory. The best way of changing the patterns with which we relate to others now is to go back and experiment with new ways of relating to the families that we grew up with. So whether it's traumatic experiences or relationships, these things have wired our brains and set our viewpoints. And we often have to go back to revisit those experiences and those relationships if we're going to move forward in freedom and health. If we just think that we're going to just go out to a new place and everything's going to be great, what usually happens is that we go to a new place and then we make the same messes and create the same dysfunctions and live out the same patterns in just a new place. Unless we go back to grow up. So I want to ask you this morning, where might God be calling you to go back to? Experiences that you've had, relationships that you've had that are maybe unresolved. Maybe you feel stuck, like, man, I just can't seem to live this way that I want to live. Well, it's very likely that the best way of breaking that cycle is to go back and facing something that you don't want to face. That's what Moses was called to do, to go back and face the thing that he had run from in the first place. Go back. And then finally, God calls Moses to go again. Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh. "Let my people go," they say. But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should heed him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Pharaoh laughs at Moses and Aaron. And not only that, Pharaoh doubles down on the oppression. He says, "Well, if you guys have time to plan this festival, maybe I'm not working you hard enough. You're going to have to make more with less." And so after Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh in the first place, Moses not only loses the confidence that God is actually going to do something, but he loses the support of the people. They say, "Forget it. Ever since you came, Moses, things have gotten worse for us, not better. We're out." And Moses begins to question God's call. Moses turned again to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, why have you mistreated this people? Why did you ever send me? Since I first came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has mistreated this people, and you have done nothing at all to deliver your people." And this is what God says. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Indeed, by a mighty hand he will let them go. By a mighty hand he will drive them out of his land.'" Chapter 6, verse 10. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Go, and tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go. And if you know the story, this happens 10 more times. 10 plagues, and Pharaoh says, okay, you can go. And then he says, no, you can't. And God says, go. Go again. Go again. Go again. Go again. God's go is persistent. I was reflecting this past week because of the holiday on Monday a little bit on civil rights movement, and I've kind of taken it upon myself to learn a little bit more about racial tensions and history of racism. And one of the things I was reflecting on this week is that we tend to focus on those events, the speech, the I Have a Dream speech, or the Civil War and the Emancipation Proclamation where the slaves were declared free, and or the Civil Rights Act, and we focus on the heroes like Lincoln and King. But justice, if it's going to be achieved, is an ongoing process. And it's a communal process. There's a reason why these things keep popping up and becoming issues for us. And it's one, because we don't want to go back. We don't want to go back to the ways of thinking and relating that were woven into the fabric of our society from its inception. We just want to pass a law and then dust off our hands and say, okay, everything's good. We did it. All right, we've given you your freedom. We've given you your vote. All right, let's move on. But we don't want to go back and do the hard work of rewiring who we are as a people and how we relate and how we think and the ideologies that justified slavery and Jim Crow and so forth and so on. We don't want to go back and we don't want to go again. We don't want to keep listening. We don't want to keep doing the work of constructing a more just society, because it takes going again and again and again and again. And really the same is true of spiritual growth. The same is true of the church. We all want this experience, spiritual experience, or this program, or this pastor, or this magic moment when we'll just break through and everything will be good and better and growing again. And we'll be different people. But friends, the process is to go and go to and go with and go back and go again and again and again. Go to one another. Go to the disaffected and the doubting. Go to our own doubts and our own struggles. Go to those who have hurt us and those who have been hurt by us and those who have never heard the message of God's love. Go and go back and go again. Listen and listen again. Serve and serve again. Love and love again. And it can be a very mundane journey. But it is going back and going again and again that makes the kingdom blossom. And it is going to and going back and going again and again that makes marriages more healthy and makes parent and child relationships more fruitful, and that makes churches grow in all of the right ways, and that makes societies change in all of the right ways. It's what Friedrich Nietzsche called a long obedience in the same direction. It's kind of like sawing through our chains. Just make the same motion again and again and again. And sometimes it seems like we're not getting anywhere, but as we go again and again, eventually we break through. Eventually, the Israelites did go out of Egypt. But it's only as we go and go with and go back and go to and go again, eventually God breaks through. And so what, friends, are the practices and the rhythms of your life that you go and go back to and go again and again and again? Going to God again and again to say, God, do this, help me with this, change me. And again I pray, and again I go to the Word. What are those patterns in your life that draw you into God and outward into the world? And if you're not seeing change, it might be because you're digging your well in the wrong place. And then we need to go somewhere else. But it might be that it's just one more dig and you break through to water that refreshes you and changes you. See, a lot of real wisdom isn't fresh and new, but mundane and consistent. The wisdom we receive today is to go back to Jesus again and again, to go to the cross and give God our lives again and again, to go to the fountain and drink forgiveness and healing and salvation again and again, to go to the Word until it dwells in us richly again and again and again, to go to the table to commune with God and the church again and again, to go to our spouses and kids and neighbors and ask and give forgiveness again and again, to go to the wash basin and to wash one another's feet, to serve one another, to help and come alongside one another again and again, to share the story, the old, old story of Jesus and his love again and again and again, to go with, to go back, to go again. And slowly but surely break down the sin that binds us and isolates us and deadens us until God breaks through and leads us into a new reality that is shaped by love and grace and peace. Let's pray. All-powerful, redeeming, transforming God, help us to trust you enough to keep going back again and again, to persist in our desire to be transformed and to be agents of transformation in this world. And when we get frustrated and tired and want to just say forget it, to remember your call to go back again. And we pray that you would give us the persistence to see that breakthrough. To see that breakthrough in our hearts, in our relationships, and in our society.